Our text today is Deuteronomy, or at least our launching point for our text. We'll be looking at some other passages, but is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. A verse that we saw quoted in the scripture reading in Acts 3 today. That's on page 161 if you're using the Black Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And when you find that, will you stand, please, and in honor of God's word, and please just follow along as I read the verses we want to consider. Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has... Let me try it again. How may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you once again for your goodness to us. And thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship you. And it is such a joy to look out and see the Browers, Lord. And we're just so thankful. And we rejoice with them. And Lord, we thank you that we can open up your word and hear from you now. And Father, just as we sang this morning, we pray that you would help us to give Christ the first place in our hearts that he deserves. Father, may you turn our attention to him this morning. May we see him as the King that he is. May we recognize him as the Word, that the Word made flesh. Lord, may you root out any idols that are in our heart that are taking up the place that he deserves. May there be ample room, Lord. Help us, by your Spirit, sweep the room of our hearts that Christ alone would reside there and receive our glory and worship and service and love. And so we ask for your help in these matters, Lord. Please proclaim your word in a bold way, in a clear way, and give us ears to hear. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. What do you need this morning? I'm sure, obviously I asked that question because it's Christmas season, right? Kids have been coming up with wish lists. Maybe adults have been coming up with wish lists. But what do you really need this morning? Well, as I was thinking about that, I think we could say something along these lines. What we all truly need is to hear from God and be made right with him. Right? What we all truly need is to hear from God, our Creator, and to be made right with him, to be reconciled to God, to know him, to walk with him. That's what we truly need. That's what life is all about. That's what we've been created for. But we cannot do that ourselves. We cannot do that unless God takes the initiative. We cannot know God unless he makes himself known. And the good news is that God has made himself known through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great prophet predicted by Moses in Deuteronomy 18 who makes God known. And so that's what we want to consider this morning. And let me just give you the context of the passage we just read there in Deuteronomy 18. Moses is nearing the end of his life. And God has worked powerfully through Moses to deliver the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt, to lead them through the wilderness, and now they're on the edge of the promised land of Canaan. The first generation of Israelites died during the 40 years of wandering, except for Caleb and Joshua, because of their unbelief. But now this second generation of Israelites are ready to enter the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And think about how vital of an instrument Moses has been to them, right? God has spoken his word through Moses. God has led them in a powerful way through Moses, even doing signs and wonders in delivering them from Egypt. God has mediated his covenant through his servant Moses to the people. Matter of fact, that's what was being referenced there in the passage when he says, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord. And if you're familiar with that, when God was giving his law, when he was making his covenant with Israel, right, the very presence of God was coming down on the mountain, and there's fire and there's smoke and there's thunder, and the people were told, you got to stay back, you can't even touch the mountain lest you die, and the earth is shaking, and they're like, don't speak to us, don't have God speak to us directly, Moses, you tell us what God's saying, because they saw how sinful they were, how completely other God is, right? He's a holy God, he's completely other than us, and they were like, you know, we can't be in his presence. We'll be consumed. And so God graciously made himself known through a mediator, Moses, speaking the words of God, establishing the terms of the covenant through Moses. And Moses then takes that to the people, and they're like, yes, we'll do that. Okay, yes, we'll do that, right? And then they have a relationship. So Moses has been instrumental, but here in Deuteronomy 18, Moses is about to die. He will not be crossing over the Jordan to go into Canaan with them. However, in these verses, God promises that a line of prophets will continue. There'll continue to be this line of prophets through whom he will speak to Israel. And that's why he even warns about the fact there's going to be some false prophets pop up along the way as well. And so here's how you can discern. Here's the criteria for evaluating them, for knowing if a prophet's truly been sent by God. But you see right away that these verses also point to one specific prophet. A prophet like Moses, whom God would raise up to speak his words and mediate his covenant. And throughout the Old Testament, God did raise up several prophets to deliver a specific message from God at a specific time to his people in a specific context. But like Deuteronomy 34:10 says, since the death of Moses, no prophet had arisen like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face for all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh. So yes, you had all these prophets in the Old Testament, but none of them were this prophet that Moses was predicting. And so when we come to the New Testament, the Jews are still waiting expectantly for this special prophet like Moses, who will speak God's words to them and will lead them into salvation. And some thought that it might be John the Baptist, right? Because he came boldly preaching a baptism of repentance. And so in the Gospel of John, in John 1:21, some Jews asked John the Baptist, are you the prophet? Right? They were expecting this prophet. Of course, they'd already asked him if he's the Messiah, and he said, he's not that, right? Are you Elijah? Okay, are you the prophet then? And John says, no, I'm not the prophet. It's not me. So who is this prophet? Well, the New Testament does tell us clearly, doesn't it? We saw it in our scripture reading in Acts chapter 3 that Patrick read earlier. That sermon preached by Peter shortly after Pentecost, Peter made it clear that Jesus Christ is the prophet promised by Moses. In Acts 3:22, he quotes this very verse here, Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses said, I'm reading from Acts 3 now, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And again, that was in the context of Peter's sermon where he's saying, here's Jesus. You need to listen to him. You need to turn to him for repentance or in repentance and faith. You need to look to him for salvation. Jesus is the long-awaited prophet. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed as Patrick was reading that, at the end of that sermon, he also talks about how Jesus is the offspring, right, through whom you'll receive blessing. And we talked about that last week, so we kind of have both sermons coming together in that sermon there in Acts 3. Through faith in Jesus, they will be blessed. They will receive the blessings of justification and all the fruits that come from that. But my point this morning is Jesus is the long-awaited prophet like Moses who is to come. All these years of them waiting for this prediction by Moses, what Moses foretold here in Deuteronomy 18, all those years of waiting for this ultimate prophet, and Jesus fulfills that. When with the birth of Jesus, with the coming of Jesus, this prophecy of Moses was fulfilled. And so today I want us to consider this, the ministry of Jesus as this prophet like Moses under two headings. And as we do so, we'll see that not only is he a prophet like Moses, but he's a prophet far greater than Moses. Okay, so two headings this morning as we consider the life and ministry of Christ. Number one, Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. There's an outline in your bulletin if you care to take notes. And under that heading, we could really parse that down into two separate points. First, he speaks God's word to us. How does Jesus reveal God to us? Well, he speaks God's words. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3, please. We're going to be in the Gospel of John for a little while, looking at different passages, so it's worth your effort to turn there. John chapter 3. You know, throughout the ministry of Jesus, he was telling the people that he was from the Father, right? And here's another passage where he's explaining that to them. John chapter 3. Here the Apostle John's really explaining who Jesus is and where he's come from. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. John 3:31 is where I'm reading. He who comes from heaven is above all, verse 32. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. Now look at verse 34. That's really what I want us to see. Talking about Jesus. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So throughout his ministry, again, Jesus, it's clear that Jesus is the one sent from the Father. And here he's the one who is speaking the very words of the Father that we are to heed. Flip ahead to John chapter 14. And as Jesus begins to prepare his, and we're just looking at a sampling today. This is certainly not exhaustive. But as Jesus begins to prepare his disciples for the fact that he's going to die and be raised and leave them, John 14:8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. John 14:8. Then verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long? And you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Right? We're talking about how Jesus reveals the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on accounts of the works themselves. Okay, look ahead down to verse 23 of that chapter. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You see how he's fulfilling what Moses predicted in Deuteronomy 18? He's speaking all the words that the Father has given to him. And then like Deuteronomy 34 said, he's accompanying that with works, right? He's showing that this he is the real deal. He is truly from the Father. Jesus was not a, certainly not a false prophet, but he's not In addition to that, he's not just another in the line of prophets, but he himself is the ultimate prophet. He himself is the source of revelation from God. And it's interesting that when you look at how Jesus taught, and compare that to how the prophets taught, right? When the prophets would proclaim, they would say, "Thus says the Lord," right? But Jesus, when he taught, he didn't really need to say that because he is the Lord, right? He would begin his teaching, like in the Sermon on the Mount, "You've heard it said, but I say to you," right? So he wasn't just commenting on scripture like the rabbis would. He wasn't even just saying, "Thus says the Lord." He's just himself is proclaiming the word of God. He's equating his teaching as revelation from God. Jesus taught throughout his ministry, proclaiming the very words that the Father had given to him. And in doing so, he perfectly revealed God's word to us. And in fact, we'll see in a moment, he himself is called the Word. He's the ultimate revelation of the Father. Think about Jesus' teachings. Think about what he revealed about God the Father, about what it means to know him, how to be made right with him, how to follow him. Jesus' words revealed this to us. Jesus taught that to enter the kingdom of God, we must be born again. We must be born of the Spirit, he said. Jesus proclaimed that he was the only way to God and that all who turned to him in repentance and faith would be given eternal life. Jesus declared what it means to follow him, that identifying yourself with him requires total life commitment of obedience, and he warned us to expect suffering along the way. He said that following him would mean rejection and persecution from the world. Jesus promised that no one who comes to him in true faith would be turned away, and that all who come to him would be kept secure until the end. Jesus taught his followers what it looks like to follow him, what it looks like to be the people of God, what it looks like to love one another and to serve one another. Jesus commissioned his followers to make disciples of all nations. Jesus promised that he is coming again, and we are to remain faithful and expectant and watching for his return. Jesus proclaimed the very words of God. He tells us how to be made right with God, how to live out our faith. He calls us to give of our lives to the kingdom. He warns us to expect the opposition, that the world's going to hate us. He assures us, though, of his continual presence and help. And he promises his return and ultimate victory. So Jesus is the ultimate prophet. He proclaims the words of God. You're still in John. Look ahead to chapter 17. On the night right before Jesus goes to the cross, as he's praying his high priestly prayer, let's just read just a couple of verses of that. Verse 6 of John 17. Jesus is saying this to the Father as he looks back on his ministry. "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. Verse 8, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." You see that? He's saying, "I have made you known to the people. I've revealed you. I've given them the words that you gave me. They know that you sent me. They know that to know me is to know you, and that's how they can be made right with you." So just as Moses predicted in Deuteronomy 18, Jesus proclaimed all the words that God the Father gave him. So think about that. Everything Jesus says about God, about eternal life, is true. He can speak as one who has authority because he's talking about himself. There's a place in the gospel when he talks about, I can talk about heaven because I came from there, right? Can any of you testify about that? I mean, I'm kind of paraphrasing, right? But that's basically what he's saying. I've been there. I know what heaven's like. I know what it takes to be made right with God. Jesus can speak with authority like no one else. When he talks about God, he's talking about himself because he is God in the flesh. So Jesus speaks the very words of God to us. He reveals the Father to us. Jesus is the ultimate prophet then, not only because he speaks the words of God, But then the second point under this heading, he reveals God's nature to us. Not only does he speak God's words, but he does something that no other prophet could do. He reveals the very nature of God to us. You're in the Gospel of John, flip back to the beginning, John 1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then down in verse 9, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him, cried out, "This was he of whom I've said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who's at the Father's side has made him known. See, Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. He speaks the words of God. He is the Word of God. He reveals God. He is God in the flesh. He is the one who gives life. God's Word gives life. The very deeds and words of Jesus are the deeds and words of God. I was thinking about this. Think about the life and ministry of Jesus. What he does and what he teaches and how we see him act, it reveals to us, it confirms to us what we read about God in other parts of the Bible. Jesus fleshes out God to us. Jesus brings to this dark world the very presence of God. God is invisible, but Jesus makes him known to us. Without Jesus, what hope would we have of knowing God? God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Yet we are sinners with dark hearts in a dark world. What fellowship does light have with darkness? But God took the initiative in making himself known. And so every attribute of God that we read about in the Old Testament, we see Jesus flesh out before us here on earth. Jesus demonstrated the holiness of God at many times, but the account that stands out to me is when he multiplied the fish in Luke 5. Right? Remember what the holiness of God is, that God is completely other than us? And if you know that story, he's been beginning to call his disciples. He's out there on the boat with Peter. They fished all night. He says, cast out your net on the other side. And he does, and then this great multitude, more than they can even handle, right? The nets are breaking. And what does Peter do? Is he like, "Hey, you know, all right, we're set, you know, we're going to pay all our bills." No, he falls down on his face before Jesus and says, "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Because in that moment, he knew that that person standing before him was completely other than him, that was God before him. Jesus demonstrated the holiness of God. Jesus demonstrated God's zeal for his glory when he overturned the money changer's table in the temple and drove them out with a whip. Jesus demonstrated the compassion of the Lord as he, throughout his ministry, right? As he touched the leper, as he healed the lame, as he restored the eyes of the blind, as he had pity on the crowds who were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus demonstrated God's sovereign power over creation as Jesus calms the raging waves and wind with just his words, as he multiplies the fish and the loaves, as he walks on water. Jesus demonstrated God's sovereign grace by choosing the 12 and calling them to follow him. Jesus demonstrated God's forgiveness as he has mercy on the woman caught in adultery and restores Peter after Peter had denied him three times. Jesus demonstrated God's patience by continuing to teach the disciples despite them being so slow to learn. Jesus demonstrated God's sovereign power over evil as he drove out demons and triumphed over Satan at the cross and the empty tomb. Jesus demonstrated God's grace and justice and love by bearing the sins of his people and suffering God's wrath on the cross. All these things about God that we read about, Jesus lived out. He fleshed them out before us. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus for making God known. He is the Word made flesh. He is, as we'll see, the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1:15 says. Jesus shines out the glory of God to sinful people like us. So do you want to know God? You look at the face of Jesus. Jesus makes him known. He is the ultimate revelation of God. Turn ahead to Hebrews chapter 1. Please. Hebrews chapter 1, page 1001 in the Black Bibles. Hebrews chapter 1. This is a really cool passage, especially as we think about God's redemptive plan unfolding, how God has revealed himself through the ages. Hebrews 1, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, talking about the Son, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. See, everything in the Old Testament pointed toward him. Everything in the New Testament is testifying about him. Jesus is the final word. He's God's final word to man. Throughout the Old Testament, God spoke to his people in various ways, sometimes through dreams, sometimes through visions, sometimes directly, sometimes through prophets, but it was always just a portion, right? It was just a piece. It was true. It was what they needed at that time. Part of the truth was delivered down through the ages, through the prophets and others, through Abraham, another part through Moses, through Isaiah, Ezekiel. But this passage says, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. God has spoken finally and completely and ultimately and perfectly through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because that's what everything was pointing toward, isn't it? Jesus is the final word. Jesus is far greater than any of the other prophets because only Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, an exact imprint of his nature. Only he could reveal God to us. Jesus is God made flesh. So, like Jesus told Philip, to see the Son is to see the Father. Jesus is God's final word. To know who God is, we need look no further than Jesus. To understand what God is doing, we need look no further than Jesus Christ. To be made right with God, we can look to no one else but Jesus. And that leads me to the second heading this morning. Not only is Jesus the ultimate revelation of God, but secondly, Jesus is the sole means of relationship with God. Jesus is the sole means of relationship with God. 2 points, again, to consider under this heading. Number one, he reconciles us to God by his death. You see, like Moses, Jesus mediates a relationship between God and man, but Jesus does what Moses could not do. Jesus reconciles us to God by his death. Again, we saw how the Israelites felt, right, when God was making their covenant with them in the Old Testament. They knew they needed to They needed a mediator. They were sinful. God's holy. And so through Moses, God provided the instructions for the covenant, for the sacrifices that had to be continually offered so Israel could be in this covenant with a holy God without being consumed. But we know that even those sacrifices did not reconcile them finally to God, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, Hebrews 10:4 tells us. Those animal sacrifices merely appeased God's wrath until the perfect and final sacrifice would be offered, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. On the cross, Jesus offered himself up in the place of sinners, bearing their sin, bearing their guilt before God. And as he hung then on the cross, Jesus was forsaken by the Father, absorbing the full brunt of the Father's wrath against those sins. The New Testament tells us that Christ's death paid in full the penalty for the sins of his people. So by his death, Jesus reconciles all who believe. Jesus does what no other prophet could do. He personally reconciles sinners back to God. The prophets, they called on people to turn from their sins. Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. The prophet's message was turn back to God, but Jesus himself reconciles sinners to God through his death. The prophets warned people of God's coming judgment against their sins. Jesus bore our judgment in our place. The prophets exhorted their hearers to get right with God. Jesus makes us right with God through his death. The prophets said, return to the Lord. Jesus gives us the new birth, enabling us to repent and believe. Which leads me to the second point under this heading. Jesus not only reconciles us to God by his death, but he also empowers obedient fellowship with God by his Spirit. He empowers obedient fellowship with God by his Spirit. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant, loved ones. The prophet's message was repent and return to the Lord, but they themselves were powerless to make it happen. The Old Testament prophets, they knew that what the people needed was not just head knowledge about God's law. They needed a reorientation of their hearts to God. But they themselves could not change the hearts of their hearers. But Jesus can and Jesus does. Praise God. Jesus regenerates us by his Spirit. Jesus gives life and faith to turn from our sins and embrace Christ as Savior and Lord. Having set us free from slavery to sin, then Jesus indwells us with his Spirit, who then leads us into a life marked by obedience to God. You see, when you read the Old Testament and you look at the ministry of the prophets, and again, they're doing what God's called them to do. But you look at Israel's history, and it's like the nation falls into sin. And then God sends a prophet speaking his words to the nation to repent and warning them of coming judgment, right? And that they need to turn to the Lord. And then what usually happened is Israel would repent and try to obey for a time, but before long, they fell back into disobedience, and oftentimes a greater level of disobedience. But Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, a better covenant, Hebrews says, in which the Holy Spirit replaces our hearts of stone with new hearts of flesh, writing the law of God on our hearts, empowering us and guiding us down the path of obedience to God. So Jesus is a prophet who brings lasting change. The Old Testament prophets called Israel back into a relationship of obedience. Jesus makes that relationship possible. He accomplishes that relationship. Praise God. Jesus is the long-awaited prophet like Moses, but no doubt he is greater than Moses. Here's a quote from Charles Leiter in his book, The Law of Christ. He says that Jesus fulfilled everything in Moses' prophecy there in Deuteronomy 18, but in a way that went beyond what even Moses himself had experienced. Right? Think about what it said in Deuteronomy 18. Think of what it said in Deuteronomy 34 about no prophet has arisen like Moses, since then like Moses who knew God face to face. Well, Leiter says, God knew Christ face to face in a way he had never known Moses. Christ performed signs and wonders and acts of power that far beyond those performed by Moses. Christ spoke all that God commanded him with such perfection that he alone was worthy of being heeded in literally everything he said. And just as Moses predicted, just as was true of the prophets, every soul who did not heed him, did not heed Christ, was utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, Jesus is the ultimate prophet, speaking the very words of the Father and representing him perfectly. So this is who Jesus is. Now, what did Moses say should be our response to this great prophet? What does the Word of God say? Well, you might remember in Deuteronomy 18, when Moses said, there will arise a prophet like me, he says, to him you shall listen. Right? To him you shall listen. Listen to him. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The New Testament says that a couple times, right? The Transfiguration in Mark 9. I won't take the time to retell that whole account, but when just a few of the disciples are up there with Jesus on the mount and they get to catch a glimpse of the glory of Jesus, they see this cloud that overshadows them. In Mark 9, verse 7, a voice comes out of the cloud and says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And then Moses and Elijah, they're no longer seen, and it's just Jesus. He's the ultimate revelation of God. He is the summation of the law and the prophets. Listen to him. He is what God is doing in this world. So that's my closing application to us, loved ones. Jesus is the great prophet who reveals God to us, who reconciles us to God. And so Scripture says, listen to him. You say, well, what does that mean? What do you mean, listen to him? Well, look back at Acts chapter 3, where we began this morning with the Scripture reading. Well, you know, when Peter quotes that from Deuteronomy 18 and points out how Christ fulfills that, it's in the context of repentance. Right? He's been talking about how they had rejected Jesus as the Messiah. They had crucified him. And so he says in verse 17 of Acts 3, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. And then he quotes the verse from Moses. And he specifically quotes, every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. So you see what Peter was saying? This is the prophet who's spoken from God. And just like all the other prophets warned of judgment from God, so you will face judgment if you reject this prophet. And so what it looks like to listen to him, friends, is to repent of your sins and embrace him as Savior and Lord. Recognize who he is. Recognize he is the promised Messiah. He is the one who came and not only revealed God to us, but gave up his life to reconcile sinners to God. And that Christ then, God the Father then raised him from the dead and exalted him to the right hand where he reigns now as Lord. And then, so Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. And so what it looks like to listen to him is to listen to the gospel, to listen to the call that goes out that says, Christ is Lord, bow before him, follow him in faith. Turn from your sins. Embrace him and receive the times of refreshing. Receive the Holy Spirit. Walk with him in a life of joy and obedience. Know God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it looks like to listen to him. And so today, if you're not following Christ as your Savior, I plead with you, listen to him. Listen to him. He's calling to you to repent. He promises entrance into his kingdom. He promises forgiveness of sins. Listen to him. Believe in him. And then to believers today, we still need to listen to him, don't we? We need to listen to him. We need to daily sit at his feet. We need to learn from his words. We need to worship him. We need to recognize who he is, that he is the culmination of God's revelation, that he is the exalted king, the promised one. We need to obey his teachings. We need to heed his warnings he gives. We need to follow his example. We need to cherish the words of Jesus. I was thinking this week about in John 6, when Jesus' teachings were getting too hard and people were leaving him. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Do you want to leave too?" And Peter says, "Where else would we go? You have the very words of life." Right? Listen to Jesus. He has the words of life. Cherish those words. Every day, loved ones, we have the opportunity to listen to the one who speaks to us the very words of God. And all the word of God points us to the Word, Jesus Christ. Every day we're privileged to gaze upon the one who reveals God to us. So may Jesus' voice not get drowned out among the sea of voices that we hear. We need to listen to him. His voice should rise above the rest, above the noise that we hear in this world. At the sound of his voice, our ears should perk up. Our hearts should leap within us as John the Baptist did when he was in his mother's womb. God is not hidden. God has revealed himself clearly by his son, Jesus Christ. God is not silent. He has spoken fully and finally through his son. So let us daily come to the scriptures and let us listen and worship as they testify about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Oh, Father, if you had not made yourself known, where would we be? We would be lost and separated and without hope. But we praise you that you have graciously spoken to us through your prophets and fully and finally through your Son. Oh, Father, thank you for your amazing grace that you would provide a way to be reconciled to you. That the Son of God himself would come and bear our sin, that we can be forgiven. Father, I pray for any here today who have not listened to Christ. They may have heard the gospel message many times, but they've not listened. It's not changed their lives. They're still living for themselves. Christ is not on the throne of their heart. Oh, Father, I pray you would convict them today. Lord, I pray you would bring them to repentance. Lord, give them faith to believe and call out to Christ this morning. And Father, for the rest of us, please forgive us for neglecting listening to Jesus. Lord, forgive us for maybe being like Martha and being too busy to sit at his feet. Oh, Father, may we joyfully and dependently come and listen to Jesus. May we cast our gaze upon him. Give us, Lord, eyes to see the glory of the risen and exalted Savior. Lord, the things of this earth pass away, but your word remains forever. Thank you for your word made flesh. We look forward to the day when we see him again. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand, please, and we'll conclude with a benediction. May the word of Christ dwell among you richly, teaching and admonishing all of you in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do this week, in word or deed, may you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.